Coming at you live just before Halloween, it's Corey and Lori, VideoGamesHotDog.Cole. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hot Dog, episode number 77.
Wow, 77. It's like a milestone.
Yeah. It's like if we had been doing this every day for 11 weeks.
Yep.
77.
How you guys been?
No, actually, I'm kind of dumb. I was just about to ask if 77 is a prime number, but it totally
when I
obviously
just said it was
7 not.
Times 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Roy. Riff, you're as terrible at math as I am remembering your name.
I'm as terrible at math as I am at being Roy.
What have you been up to, Riff?
Not a lot. Just playing a lot of games, basically. Spending all my time on one particular game, which I assume we'll get to.
It's not World of Warcraft?
I'm kind of at a point in World of Warcraft where I don't really need to do a bunch of stuff. I've got my my gear score is up high enough to do the next set of looking for raids when they come out. So I'm not like...
But you've been looking for them in all the wrong places?
Yeah. So I'm not like, I'm not like pressed to do anything in particular in a certain amount of time or anything like that. So I've just been... I've been lax, haven't even.
But you
been
haven't been taking
of
advantage of this opportunity
daily.
To go out into the world and, you know, maybe go dancing.
Damn. I've been taking the opportunity to play a whole bunch of other video games. That's
but
sort of like
done
dancing.
Like.
Wait, so you're cheating on World of Warcraft?
On a picnic in the park?
No.
You haven't gone to a museum?
I've been to all the museums they have around here.
No.
Have you been to the Children's Museum?
You didn't build it. It's a museum of children.
Yeah, it's just different children throughout the ages.
It's just everyone.
It's a hands-on exhibit.
Oh.
That is gross. What is wrong with you? It's a hands-in exhibit.
Yeah. What have we been up to, Zach?
I don't know.
We've been eating at a bunch of fine Chicago establishments.
Yeah, drinking a lot.
Drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was... I was glad. We had one day where I just didn't drink anything, and I was super glad for it, because I was getting, like, toxified, I think, by the amount of booze.
Yeah, the toxins were building up inside your body.
Yeah.
Did you need to do some sort of ear candling?
No, I did a juice enema. It worked out pretty well.
Okay.
But now I've been farting oranges.
A Jew's enema is like a regular enema, but you just play it with your tongue, right?
With your teeth.
Yeah. Oh.
What else? We went to...
You have to be
Second
careful
City.
Not to mix your milk enema with your cow blood enema.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be kosher. So we went to Second City. We went to... we just got back from Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It was pretty avant-garde.
Yeah. They're pretty... variable in the different plays that they put on, given that they get to do 30-ish of them.
What we watched was not the normal Second City show. It was some
it was
third
second stage. The main stage was sold out when I went to get tickets.
Okay.
So.
And they made a joke about that. They were like, yep, you're seeing us because the main show was sold out.
Yep.
Hope you're ready for some stupid bullshit.
I laughed maybe eight or ten times.
Oh yeah, no, it was good. I was sort of drunk and tired and in a bad mood, and I was not inclined to. It was also very. There was a lot of really dated seeming, just real violent music between things.
Like it was all clown posses.
Yes, yeah, a lot of murdering and a lot of Faygo being drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, now that you mention it, I did actually do something recently that was not a video game.
What was it, Riff?
We went to see one of the local, wow, I totally can't think of the word is, what's that comedy where it isn't written out beforehand?
Improv comedy,
shows.
Riff.
Yeah.
National Comedy Theater?
Yeah, yeah. It was okay. It was like a different team of guys than the regulars. I guess there were some improv experts around who wanted to put on a show with their improv friends, and they were pretty funny. But my My general feeling about improv is that I would rather they either did a show that was four times as long and then edited down to the quarter of it that was the funniest, or
that's not improv.
I know. Well, see, that's the problem.
Well, it is. Would you not consider like
recorded improv?
Yeah. Well, would you, like the Judd Apatow school of filmmaking, where you just improvise a scene 30 times and then use the funniest one? No, I can definitely see what you mean.
I think that's how Whose Line Is It Anyway worked as well. I enjoy seeing the failures
because it makes me feel like my own failures are better.
Yeah.
Some of the funniest things I have ever seen have been live improv, though.
I think, well, there was some good funny stuff. I think the other option that I would also like would be which would totally no longer be improv, but if they did an improv show and then took the best bits of it and the most interesting scenes that they came up with and used that to actually write like a refined sketch, you know?
I'm guessing that happens quite a bit.
Yeah, but workshopped stuff, but I feel like a lot of the things that make improv shows awesome is the like stuff that happens spontaneously.
Yeah, the off the cuffness. I just feel like that's better as a jumping off point than as its own thing.
You know what I very much dislike about audience participation is audiences.
Yeah, I mean I guess the best improv that we saw had almost nothing to do with like audience participation. It was all like
Andy Richter participation. Yeah.
Yeah, this one.
This one
basically had no audience participation. Like they asked somebody to shout out something at the very beginning, and they said like Arc de Triomphe,
Kumquats,
and then they just ran from there through the entire thing without asking for
penguins
any further options. But there were some funny bits, but there were also a whole lot of points where it was clear that they were just running in circles until somebody happened to come up with something, and it kind of exposed the like I could see the
savvy
cavvy of how it was working.
You guys are awesome backers.
Yeah, Mr. Lieutenant Time Bonkers.
See, yeah. Riff, we're never going to get through these if you keep thanking the same dude over and over again.
I just can't thank him enough. He's brought such joy to my life.
Thank you, the sexy mancubus, Justin Miller. I wish that FTL would let you name ships long enough names that I could name my ship the USS, the sexy mancubus, Justin Miller, but
I guess you could just go with mancubus. Is it long enough for sexy mancubus?
Yeah, probably. It is not long enough for still not a hot little blonde schoolgirl, but have given up arguing the matter.
Let's see here.
You know what it is long enough for is Y-Man. And you know, a ship piloted by Y-Man would be so fucking full of copper
That's true.
You could buy every one of the scrap upgrades for the amount of copper that you brought with you.
Why copper? I don't get it.
Because Y-Man is a friend of ours, and he owns a copper company.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
He trades in copper as a commodity.
Yeah, but you know, uses it to make wires and shit.
And now you know a lot about him.
Yeah, we see him all the time because he comes out to Arizona where the copper is mined.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway,
he brings a pick with him.
Yes,
he's very hands-on.
You know what they call a pick in England?
Royale Faustus with Pringle. Cheese.
Thank you, Faustus Pringle. You've been around for a long time. Someday you're going to finish that movie, and you're going to play it for us.
Oh, that's right.
And everyone else.
Holy crap, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
We're all going to die before it's finished. Get on it. See, Americans think 100 years is a long time, and that's great, because when we say this movie's going to take a long time to make, we do it in finite time.
You know, I bet I know who doesn't think 100 years is a lot of time. Kethoth, resident demon overlord.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, I think demon overlords probably have a very different conception of the flow of time.
I thought you were going to say Mr. Lieutenant Time Bonkers, because time is so bonkers for him.
Well, I figured that would be obvious.
Do you think that one of the demons that guy overlords over is the sexy mancubus Justin Miller?
I don't know. I feel like the sexy mancubus Justin Miller is a free agent. He goes where the wind takes him.
What about the hybrid demon Demo Comics? One of our awesome Kickstarter backers. Half demon, half comic books.
You sure that's not just a demonstration for comic books?
It could be a comic book demonstration. That's also possible. So, but I mean, that by that logic, demons could be just demonstrating the letter N.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right true. Then.
You know, too much light makes the baby goblin D. That's how I choose to read that.
Huh.
Anyway, baby goblin D is like Vampire Hunter D. It has a hat. It's an adorable baby goblin hat. So yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy.
Ooh. Improv.
Yeah.
Yes, and
we should
audience suggestions.
Yeah. What else have you been up to? I went on a little side trip. Did you do anything interesting while I was gone, or did you just work?
I pretty much just worked.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, I guess I watched a movie. That's not true. I watched a movie. It was The Ides of March. It was another movie directed by George Clooney, and it was sort of about a presidential campaign, like early in a presidential campaign, like before the primary for a particular Democratic.
It wasn't about like the assassination of George Clooney's character on ER by all of the other doctors.
It was not.
Stabbing him with scalpels.
It was not.
And then he was like, et tu, Noah Wiley?
It was really good. It was really good. George Clooney was in it, and also Ryan Gosling, who is awesome.
He was in. And so Paul George Giamatti. Clooney was in both the movie and Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You heard it here.
It's fantastic.
We've changed our focus to celebrity
Animus.
Homosexuality blogging. This is a blog now, too.
And lies.
Yeah, also lies. Ah, boy.
Yep.
Yeah, so we watched guys, they do plays. They do 60 plays in 30 minutes.
No.
Yes. I couldn't say it because it's copyrighted.
That's true.
To Greg Allen. Yeah,
I think you can't do it. You can say it all you want.
Huh.
Right? Because you're basically
But saying things is kind of the same as doing them. Like, every time your buddy's like, oh man, we should form a band, that makes it so there's a band.
Well, sure. in a different universe, maybe.
Oh yeah, I guess you saying it proves that at some point you thought of it somewhere else. You know, all right, Riff, tell your story about your video game. What video game have you been playing all the time?
Do you want the whole list? Are we doing the what video games do we play segment?
Sure. I was trying to bridge to it naturally, but I guess if you want to put a fucking button on it.
Yes, Segway destroyed. That's going to be my new game. Okay, well,
Super
let's
Segway
see.
Destroyer.
I played a little bit of the new Fool and His Money, which came out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is it more of the same?
It is pretty much exactly the same, except there is color and noises.
And so it exists.
Oh, God.
Is it worth, what, $40 or whatever it costs now?
Wow, does it cost 40 bucks, really?
$400.
I think it's pretty pricey.
Huh. I don't know. There's,
you paid for it so long ago that it's only $40 with interest.
Yeah. I no longer have any recollection at all how much I paid to pre-order it years and years ago. Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be a good scheme. You sell something for pre-order for $5, and then you invest that $5, and whatever that $5 turns into by the time the game is released is the release price of the game.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same sort of art and puzzles. So I guess whether or not
like
it would be worth that
thing
much
where
money.
You have to click on numbers on zero frames of time.
If there is a puzzle like that, I haven't encountered it yet. I haven't played through it very far. Just enough to I played like two or three puzzles and looked to confirm that indeed there is a giant puzzle, jigsaw puzzle meta map, just like in the first one. But yeah, it seems pretty much just like the original with different puzzles, but they're the same sort of puzzles. So if you like those puzzles, then that's great.
The puzzles were okay. The meta puzzle was by far the more interesting part.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't remember how the meta puzzle worked.
The meta puzzle?
Yeah.
It was like figuring out things.
Oh, figuring out things. Thank you.
In the
thank
giant
you for
map.
For the clarification.
In other
Professor
words, it
details.
Was a puzzle.
Okay.
I mean, it helped a lot that you knew that they were supposed to be treasures, right? So that made it a lot easier to find answers to the various riddles and stuff that they had. I don't know what to tell you, man.
I know there were, like, the text is what allowed you to arrange the map, right? Like, those paragraphs of text that were like, went south and saw a big cock and balls. And then you're like, oh, the cock and balls must be south of the arbitrary starting point that was impossible to determine.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was hard to figure all that crap out.
Hmm. Let's see. I also played a thing called Cairo, spelled K-A-I-R-O. Haven't finished it yet. It is a first-person sort of escape, not exactly an escape the locked room game. It's sort of like a very minimalistic version of Myst, but without any story that is apparent. You're sort of walking around in these very sort of bleak, like concrete walls sort of places and trying to get from... I don't know, from one door to the next door and figure out the various panels and buttons that you can stand on to unlock the magical icon you have to get to unlock the other door or whatever. It looks kind of cool. I have forgotten how much it cost, but it wasn't expensive. But that is a thing just that like seems deodorant. Interesting. Yeah. I played a few minutes...
Just like deodorant, Riff can't remember how much it costs.
That's right. I played a little bit of Super Hexagon, the Terry Kavanaugh's new thing.
Yeah, I think you can only play a little bit of that. I don't know if that's actually new. I remember when I played it, I was like, "Oh yeah,
newest." You know,
I played this when I was a baby.
Really?
No, but it was like a year or two ago.
It's like a Star Castle.
It just came out
on
the iPad,
reverse.
So it's new. To
yeah.
Me. It is so hard as balls. I don't know how people get good at it without, like, trucker pills.
I feel like it's a thing where the more you play it, the better
you do
get
definitely
at it.
Get better at it without really noticing.
Yeah. He's good at that. He's good at, like, making a game with some systems that, like, are compelling enough to keep you interested.
It's still super fucking hard.
Yeah, but then they, like, the game is sort of rewards that by being interesting, right?
Yeah.
Although I guess Super Hexagon Killer 5000 or
doesn't really take you anywhere.
It doesn't unless it does after you get really.
There's
far.
Not some poignant final moment.
Yeah. No.
There's not a cool sense of having explored a big map of.
Yeah.
There's not a section where you're like, oh fuck that, I'm not picking that thing up.
Yeah.
He does make the extreme difficulty less of a pain by making it very fast and easy to start over, so you don't have a lot of downtime waiting for your dude to respawn or anything like that.
Yeah. That was actually one of the games that I played was the animator for Word Realms, a friend of his made a game called Little Chomp, and one of the problems I had with it was that when you would die, which would happen a lot, it took quite a while to get back to the point where you could play again. And so, like, and you know, and by quite a while, I mean like 8 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever.
It was like,
but that's
this, the
long
point,
enough.
The point at which Riff and I both gave up on Warp was waiting for the fucking reloads.
Yeah.
After that thing.
So
there's a
technical tidbit of advice for anyone listening who makes games is make it very easy
to make
and fast
games that we will
back.
Pay attention to.
Yeah.
Really, what wants to make games that we will buy and then never play or complain about in a forum anywhere.
Yeah.
It really makes us kind of the perfect customer. So just keep making the same old bullshit.
That's my advice. Let's see. I also played a thing called Liquid Sketch on the iPad, which is a fluid physics puzzler, which is pretty interesting.
So you like break open the iPad and pour out the liquid crystals and make a sidewalk painting with them?
It's the sort of thing where like you've got... You start out with either a specific quantity of liquid or a spout that shoots out infinite liquid, and you have to get a certain quantity over into a well. There are various different chapters of the game use different moving techniques for moving the liquid, so it might be based on the gyroscope of how you tilt the iPad, the liquid flows. Or there's a set of levels where you're given pumps to move the liquid around, and there's a set of levels where you move the liquid around with your finger on the touchscreen. And the fluid physics are really nice. It really looks and behaves like some kind of actual liquid. And there's a color component to it where the liquids are different colors, and there's like splotches of paint on the walls. And as the liquid moves past the paint, it picks up the color. But instead of just like being on off, it's a color of this color, the color like spreads and flows within the liquid really naturally and realistically, and different colors mix the way it looks like when you've got, you know, colored water mixing. It was pretty impressive. It was pretty fun. It's not very long, but I think they're probably going to come out with new level packs eventually.
This could be your move the box.
Cool. Yeah, possibly. Maybe.
Move the water box.
Move the water, yeah.
Get the box wet.
I also played a few minutes of the third Penny Arcade Rainslick Precipice of Darkness game, which just came out on iPad. That seems
did
pretty
good. Did the first couple come out?
I don't think they ever did come out on iPad.
I doubt it. I think those are unsupported at this point.
Yeah, they're out for, you can get them for Mac. I think they're on Steam. But it's really good. They took like the old school JRPGs sort of systems and added some modern features to make it like more fun to play, but it still really keeps the really good old school sort of chiptune-y pixel art.
Yeah, there's no grinding because all of the encounters are set.
All the encounters are set. Yeah, all your
potion just becomes a new verb, which is just like a heal spell,
and it restores during
you start every fight with full HP and MP.
Yeah, and you've got like all your different equipable job character classes, and which gain XP individually, but all the ones that you're not using still accumulate XP, which is cool, and things like that. And it's also really funny. Jerry did some really good work in the item descriptions and dialogue and stuff. So that's the thing that I'm probably going to be playing.
At what point did job become the word for class in an RPG?
I think that's a Final Fantasy thing. I feel like it was the earlier Final Fantasies, but not like the first couple. So
like
I'm
your
not
job
really sure.
was wizard. Your job was wizard.
Yeah, basically.
Huh.
I mean, I guess that kind of is. Your class would be more like peasant.
Yeah.
Or nobleman.
Your social class, but your, you know, cool class is wizard class. Or the math class.
Yeah. The main thing that I've been pouring all my time into is a new 3DS game called Virtue's Last Reward. I don't remember if I talked about this previous on the show, but it's the sequel
Riff.
To it. What?
Virtue is its own reward.
It's the sequel to a game called 999, 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 rooms. That was a DS game that was out a while ago, and I don't remember if I've talked about it before or not. But basically, it is a visual novel about these 9 people that have been kidnapped and put in this sort of unusual underground bunker of rooms and forced to play an elaborate game of trust and betrayal against each other, and while they're trying to figure out what's going on and how to escape. And the visual novel sections are broken up with escape the locked room sort of puzzles. Huh. And it's really, really good, actually. I'm not sure I can recommend it to Zach because you don't have a lot of patience for like cutscenes, and it's pretty much all cutscene except for these escape the locked room puzzles. But the story is really interesting, and I can't actually talk about any of the plot elements because it would be too spoilery. But they take a lot of plot elements or things that I don't think I've ever seen discussed or referred to in a video game before, and it's all really interesting stuff. And some very surprising things happen, and it's very mysterious, and it's very cool. And the puzzle sections are pretty good. They're not going to win awards, but they're certainly better than the majority of escape the locked room puzzles that I've seen on the internet. So they're native 3DS serviceable.
Game?
Yes, it is a native 3DS sequel to 999, which was a DS game. It has 24 different endings, apparently.
Jesus.
They soften it a lot. There's one of the menu items is a flowchart that shows you the entire flowchart of the game and like all the scenes and all the choice points, and you can tap a scene to go that you've done before to go back to it. So once you get to the end of a flowchart branch, you can very easily go back to a decision point and take the other decision to go down the other branch. And it also has a feature that lets you fast forward through any text that you've seen already. So it's pretty painless to get all the different endings.
And that sounds kind of like, what was that time travel JRPG that came out for the DS?
Heroes, you'll never be your own hero.
The World Ends With You, future. Is that what you're thinking?
No,
about,
it wasn't World Ends. No, I know which one you're talking about.
What is it? It's got some weird name that I can never think
of. Yeah.
It's like Scarbathian Kodachrome.
Sure. Scarbathian Kodachrome.
Kodachrome. Yeah. No, it's like when a song ends with an old lady.
Will the 3DS play a DS game, like the cart itself?
Yeah, it will.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a really good game, and I recommend it for anyone that's down with a long but very interesting story.
Radiant Historia.
Radiant Historia, that was the one.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
Carblavian Kodachrome.
There were a lot of moments where like a plot element or a rule, and there would be a new rule revealed for the game that the people are trapped playing, and it was interesting to me just like sitting back for a couple of minutes, thinking about what just happened and what the implications of that are for how the story is going to progress. And I feel like it's not a lot of games that provoke that kind of thought. So it was pretty cool. But yeah.
Cool.
So that's what we've been playing, Riff?
Yeah, I'm about 25 or 30 hours into it.
I was really hoping that you were going to say, I've been playing nonstop for days, Frog Fractions.
Oh, I totally Frog forgot Fractions about Frog Fractions. Good. Oh my god, that game is so good.
I was hoping that you were like, yeah, I've been saving up for the warp drive. It has taken forever to get that much fruit, but I'm going to get there. It's going to be great.
Yeah, everybody, man. we shouldn't talk about Frog Fractions very much, but everyone should play Frog Fractions.
Everyone should play Frog Fractions and definitely don't give up before you get the warp drive.
Yeah.
Yep.
The padlock.
Yes.
This is the best power-up.
I played a little bit of the new Minecraft expansion. I went around redoing my all my molding in my wizard's tower with the new inside and outside corner steps features. So that's
corner
cool.
step. What?
They
what's new in this? What's new in this patch?
Well, the corner steps is they implemented a thing where if you have two stair blocks that are like diagonally adjacent and you put another one in the corner between the two of them, it will check and see if it makes more sense for that instead of that stair block being two small cubes on top of four small cubes, it will check and see if maybe that should be one small cube or three small cubes instead. Does that make any sense to say it?
Yep.
So yeah, it's really nice. They've also got, let's see, they added a new monster. They added a witch who throws potions at you. I think she may only appear, like I think she might not be a random world generated mob. I think she may only you may just encounter her she has a swamp hut, which is like a generated building in a swamp biome, and I think she may only appear in those, but I don't know that for certain.
That's actually kind of cool. If they had more like world specific locations that had monsters in them, that would be neat.
They also added a bat as just another random passive creature. I don't think it does anything. It just sort of flaps around and is kind of cute, but it adds some interesting color to the world. You can make pumpkin pies. Zombies drop carrots and potatoes.
You mean fucking jack-o'-lantern pie?
Yeah. they added an anvil that you can make that allows you to repair magical tools and weapons without destroying the enchantments. And also you can combine tools to stack all of the enchantments onto a single tool.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty limited. The way it works is it has some kind of math to determine how many levels a tool will be worth. The anvil works off of your spending your experience points to do it, just like you are with the enchanting table. And if a tool would cost 40 or more levels to repair or enchant, the anvil won't do it. It's like too expensive for the anvil to handle.
Oh.
And every time you repair a tool this way, it adds two levels to that number. So you can't just continually repair a tool indefinitely. So basically you can smash some magic stuff together to get a really good tool that you'll be able to use like once, or you can repair a middling value tool and get several uses worth out of it.
But I mean, does it tell you how close you are to not being able to fix it, or does it tell you how, like, or is all that math just hidden?
It tells you how many levels this thing will cost to repair. So
it still uses the levels. It still uses experience as the fuel.
Yeah,
I see.
Weird decisions I had have a made about I had a magic bow stashed in a chest. It was the best possible magical bow you could get with like all the bow enchantments at their max value. And I had it stashed in a chest as a souvenir because it only had one shot left on it before it broke. And I was able to repair that for 39 levels, which meant I could get one more use out of, or one more round of uses out of it.
Interesting. I mean, I understand them wanting the magic stuff to be rare, but I mean, it just creates this weird sort of degenerate play where you leave your character logged in for hours collecting experience so that you can craft some more. Yeah.
Although the experience
logged in more.
Experience gains are a lot faster now than they used to be. So it's not as bad. It doesn't take very long to get to like level 30.
Well, I mean, they want people to get to the cap, even though there are all these extra expansions.
Yeah,
because that's where the game begins. You know, is when you can start looking for AIDS.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing. Come Wednesday, I'll be playing the new Professor Layton, which I believe is out already, but my copy arrives on Tuesday or Wednesday.
When does the Super 3DS Paper Mario's come out? It's pretty soon, isn't it?
Pretty
soon. Mid-November.
I think mid-November. People are saying this new Professor Layton is better than any of them but the first. So it's pretty encouraging.
That's encouraging. I had kind of almost been willing to write the series off because I just didn't care anymore. But
yeah.
I very much stopped caring about 2 hours into the second one.
Puzzles. So.
Do you have 3DS, Kevin?
I do not.
You should probably get one. You should get one and then get the new Professor Layton and Virtue's Last Reward, because I think you would get a kick out of the story. Unfortunately, I can't tell you any of the stuff that I think you would like, but I think you in particular would really like the story in that.
Riff, don't you have like a dozen 3DSs? Why don't you just give Kevin one of yours?
I have two 3DSs, and I gave one of them to Jenny. So,
two is like a dozen, though. I've been kind of waiting for them to... If they already come out with a second generation 3DS?
They did, didn't they?
Yeah, the big one, yeah.
So. Oh, I don't want the big one. I want like the 3DS Lite.
It's like the size of a whole or whatever. Coffee table.
You know? I haven't heard any indication that they're going to do a Lite version of the 3DS.
Nintendo's had some like profit issues lately.
They always say they're not going to do anything, and then they do it, and you're like, I knew it. Well, they don't want to. I don't think they want to like explicitly acknowledge you shouldn't buy our first gen hardware because you know us. Look at us. Look at history. You should just wait a year and then buy the much awesomer version of this that we make then.
Yeah. I think
the world is full of assholes like us who will just buy everything.
Part of how the DS Lite happened though was that they figured out how to make the components smaller and pack them into a smaller space. And I think they already used that knowledge when making the first 3DS.
Well, but more knowledge.
Yeah, there's no knowledge is not gained, fixed, right? I mean, everybody learns something every day.
Have you seen the iPhone 5 riff? It is like, it weighs like nothing. Man,
I would like to see the iPhone 5, but my one that I ordered has been backordered for goddamns.
Huh. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I got mine, Riff.
I am.
Maybe you should try being more like me.
But on the plus side,
I'll grow like 6 inches, and
the plus side, the shipping won't cost anything because it doesn't weigh anything.
Well, you'll grow 6 inches of dick and then like a foot of height. Kevin, you should tell the nice people what you've been playing while I go get us new beers.
Okay,
yeah. What that have you like been playing, Kevin?
So, I mean, I mentioned this while you were talking a little bit. That game, Little Chomp. It's like an iOS game. It is vaguely reminiscent of like Angry Birds in that you put your finger on a point on the screen and then sort of stretch it back to the side to like pull back. Instead of like a slingshot, you're like pulling back like a little caterpillar. Mm-hmm. And he moves around the screen, so you're like doing like the sort of like slingshot style movement to get this guy around the screen, which is okay. It's really imprecise, and the late levels of the game get really, really frustrating because they require like a bunch of like precise jumps, and it's extremely difficult to do that under duress of like time, basically time pressures that the game puts on you. You know, it's okay. It's one of those like sort of very casual style games. I feel like they're trying to market it to girls a lot because it has a bunch of like collectible butterflies that you can unlock.
I looked at it on iTunes. It does look very cute.
Yeah, it's got a lot of cutesy features, which I don't have any problem with it. It just doesn't seem like it's necessary. Like it wasn't. I don't know. It was. It was an okay game idea, and I feel like they spent a lot of time sort of polishing it for cuteness, which I didn't really appreciate as much as other people might.
I like cute things, but there are different styles of cute, and I don't like them all to the same degree.
Yeah, no, totally. This was very much like sort of computer-drawn cuteness that was sort of only middlingly attractive to look at.
Yeah.
The other thing that I...
Wait, were you talking about your mom? Because I would say she's more than middlingly attractive to look at.
Well, I mean, not for me, but, you know, for everybody else, sure.
To you, she's only middlingly attractive.
Melissa and I... Melissa picked up this game for the iPad called Drawn 3, which I think just means it's the third in the series of the Drawn games, which it's a big fish game, which... They make all these like hidden object type puzzle games or whatever, and I hadn't really played any of them in many years.
Big Fish Casino.
Yes. But this one is pretty interesting. It's like the plot is, you know, interesting, and the puzzles are kind of cool. Like
What's gameplay like?
I'm enjoying it. There is a lot of, like, you're moving around in the world and finding objects in the world. A lot of the time they have, like, little sparkles on them, so it helps you find them or whatever. And then you're solving puzzles by, figuring out the process by which to make paint or whatever. So you have to like find, you know, rock to crush, and then you need some wax and some oil and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I played the first two in this series. Now that I think about it.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's a pretty decent series. Yeah. It's also very attractive.
Yeah. The art is really nice. Yeah. And there's this. And I don't know if this was true in the first two games. There's like a pop up book component of Drawn 3 where there's like just interact, like, you know, just sort of like, you know, like the books with little tabs and stuff like that. And that's actually like a really fun little segment of the book, because you're like trying to figure out all the different like secret hidden compartments.
Yeah, yeah.
On this like sort of
what order, you know, to manipulate the pages in, and yeah.
Yeah.
I believe they had that. If I'm not getting confused about what order they came in my memory, they had a lot of that in the second one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this would be a great game for like a parent to play with a kid, or you know, like Melissa and I are just sort of taking turns, like we're just swapping back and forth and just sort of watching over the other person's shoulder while we play, which is kind of neat. I've never played a game like that before, so that's, you know, that's been kind of fun. And then Zach made me play this game called The Sandbox, also on iOS. We played it on the iPhone, and
yeah, I wanted somebody else to share in my misery.
Yeah, it is fucking bullshit.
Have you played this, Riff?
I don't know. It doesn't sound familiar. What is it?
It is.
God, it's like, so. It's like. Do you remember Hell of Sand?
Oh yeah. I'm a fan of those kinds of things generally.
Yeah, and I am too. I like the idea of it a lot. And man, it is horseshit.
This is like, and this game is like an attempt to put an actual game structure on Hell of Sand. But it suffers from this thing that I think we're gonna find ourselves talking about a lot here, which is that it is a fucking free-to-play iOS game, so it has all of the horse shit associated with the revenue models for free-to-play iOS games.
Oh my God. So it's mention us on Twitter to get 14 more pixels of sand.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
They do it with mana.
You have mana, yeah, which is like basically just a microtransaction currency, and you get some mana every day for playing it.
Yeah.
You can, to their credit, you can, I think, just spend like $3 and unlock everything. Like, there is a thing that is just unlock all of the elements for $3.
Yeah. Okay.
You can also beat the game without spending any money, yeah, only unlocked like half of the creative tools. It's like in Minecraft, if you could only work with dirt and gravel, but you could do, I mean, you could build everything you wanted to out of dirt and gravel, but if you wanted to build stuff out of stone or iron or whatever, you'd have to like pay them or watch a lot of videos or like them on Facebook or
give them a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Ugh, garbage.
It's also like, imagine Hell of Sand divided into a bunch of levels with really ill defined win states. And then you doing a bunch of shit and then waiting to see if the thing figures out that you accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish.
Or a level where they have very explicit directions about what to do. Like, put these blocks on the green squares, and then you go to the level and there are no fucking green squares anywhere.
Yeah, that's apparently a bug.
How? Because what?
No, I mean, it's not like, I'm saying it's a bug rather than just like a mistake, right? Like, it forced, some people were seeing them. Some people could see the green squares.
Okay.
We just could not see the green
squares.
Well,
I mean, we had 4 or 5 different devices, and yes, none of them could see the fucking green squares.
So I'm not saying it was a rare bug.
But so that level and the one where it was like, unclog the pipes to beat this level, where actually what they mean was unclog the pipes and put this particular kind of block on all these green squares.
Yeah, it was like, fix the factory, but they don't tell you what kind of factory it is. It turns out it's an acid rain factory.
Yes.
Like every other factory.
Yeah.
But yeah, you had to, yeah. There were just steps missing. Like, there were win states that were tracked but not expressed to you. There are some neat things about it, and that's why The reason that I made you play this is because it is so close to being something that's really good and fun to play with.
Yeah, but in turn, it just...
And there are some enjoyable things about it, but man, shit. So we also read this article about Puzzlecraft. All of the like social gaming horse shit that's in Puzzlecraft was a result of publisher
pressure.
Just
before we started recording, actually.
Like, they were like, hey, we got an idea for a game. We'll make it, and it'll be fun, and we'll maybe charge people $2 or $3 for it. And then Chillingo's like, no, you fucking A will not. What you will do is you will fuck it all up, and we'll give it away for free.
Yeah.
And they were like, but...
And it's interesting that, like, some of the stuff that they ended up leaving in the final game sort of, like tastes a little bit like that. Like
what's weird is it
taxes
ends up being,
every 2 hours.
They end up not charging very much for it. I mean, because I think the game only was $1.
Yeah.
So they just like, all right, well, we're going to do what we said we were going to do, but make it so we just charge a third of what we thought we were going to charge. And
They left in a little bit of the
social
stuff.
There is
the
in-app
purchase.
There is the in-app purchase of... Why do we keep thinking of this as social? It's not really anymore, right? Like the Twitter integration shit, whatever, that is... Man, you know what I could have done without it? Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind was their fucking social media integration horse shit.
Well, so this is interesting because I went to a beer tasting fundraiser for them.
Beard tasting.
Yeah, that's what
I heard. It was a strange choice, but turns out redheads have really tasty beards. Who knew? But they don't have any way to...
Like that Iron and Wine guy. I bet his beard tastes like cinnamon.
They don't have any way to build a social network because they don't collect any names or email addresses or anything at the shows. And so I think the whole
yeah,
post
they
this on Twitter.
Your admission price is $9 plus $1d6.
Yeah.
But if you show them that you're posting it on Twitter, that you're going there, it's $9 plus $1d5.
Yeah. I think it's just a die that's waited to come up on a 5 because you're a sucker. But I don't know.
Yeah, Emily did it and she paid 5.
Yeah.
Well, although
she rolled a 5.
You paid it all and you overpaid for all of us.
Yeah, I always overpay.
Yeah, no, it's the right thing to do.
I like them.
Just like leaving a big old tip.
Yeah.
Unless the server's an asshole. Unless the server crashes. Yeah. So what were we complaining about? The sandbox.
Sandbox. Yeah. So it has... I think it is one of those games like Minecraft that is Turing complete. Because you can make... I think you can make NAND gates with their little... They've got metal... blocks or metal sand, and they've got electricity, and there are certain configurations that you can do to do logic gates.
Like you can make diodes. Yeah. So and I think with a diode you can with diodes you can make any logic gate.
No.
Right?
Well, maybe.
What else are they made of? Do you need transistors to
do?
Yeah.
For some.
You need transistors to do NAND. But you don't have to have NAND.
No,
to be
NAND
Turing
is
completely
just
right.
The is
NAND.
Just an
if
easy,
you can make a NAND, you can make anything else out of a NAND. But
exactly.
You can actually make if you have your buddy Anand, you can make anything out of him.
Yeah, he's very flexible.
We should talk to him about him being sufficient,
but not
necessary for Turing completeness.
I think he would appreciate that actually quite a bit.
All right, he went to MIT.
Yes,
so I'm sure he's some computer
and
nerd.
He's into theater. So it all comes full circle. But so like there's that going for it. And then there's like the like sort of painterly aspect of like making cool looking worlds or whatever. But it's a really small, like on a phone, at least it's a really small screen. So it's.
Yeah, it's not very high res. But, you know, what it seems to me is that like in order to do that, you kind of have to be you have to treat every pixel as an object and sort of simulate what's going on every frame with every pixel.
Mm-hmm.
And that would get kind of taxing on the phone if it, like, you couldn't do it in Retina because then it's just an infinite amount of sand.
The other issue is that the interface is kind of terrible. to actually like do anything with like good resolution, you have to zoom in. But then their methodology for moving around is like you put two fingers on the screen to move around, but inevitably you end up putting down two fucking blocks.
You just can't do it ever. Yeah. And also, when you're zoomed in, a lot of the time, like, you just can't actually place a block, or you can't actually erase a block without just, like, sort of really swiping your finger around all over the place until it gets somewhere near it.
Yeah. It's got a lot of problems.
I don't envy the person that has to come up with an interface for something like this on that device, because it's kind of...
It's a PC thing. It should be on a PC. It should be on a fucking iOS.
You know, I read something the other day that reminded me of a conversation that we had about why isn't there an Apple branded controller for and it was apparently, anecdotally at least, Steve Jobs did not want there to be a controller for the phone.
He doesn't like games. He did not want games at all.
He said he wanted people to have to make games for the touch interface. And he said if there was a controller on there would just end up being the same old bullshit on there as opposed to like innovative new things happening. Mm.
Yeah.
And so that's why there was never any pressure inside Apple for there to be like a consistent.
You know, but I mean the other things that we've been playing have been games at the arcade, and there are a bunch of different games and a bunch of different kinds of attempts at controllers, but having like some joysticks and some buttons has just like it just has evolved to be the thing that makes the most sense. I want a discrete button that I know when I press it is going to do something. Like, I was playing a game today that had like a sticky button, and I was getting really pissed at that button. It was the fucking gun dot smoke. I don't know if you played on the left hand controller or not.
I did.
Yeah,
it was probably sticky because I ejaculated into it.
Oh, well, that would explain that.
You can't beat level 2.
That makes me so hard.
Oh, well.
this level and my dick are so hard. Yeah. Oh,
man.
When we got home from the arcade, I sneezed in your office here and just blew a giant glob of snot right onto your wall.
Really?
Yeah, it was over on the other side. I cleaned it up.
Oh. That's kind of awesome.
I just thought I would tell you that.
Is that just because
I'm just putting all sorts of sticky fluids on things today.
I was so excited about the arcade that I spit into my pop filter.
Why is it gun dot smoke? And why does every wanted poster, regardless of which named after their gun, named after their weapon villain, you have to... Because it's like the first one is somebody Winchester. The boss of level 2 is Joe Knife.
Yeah. Really? Joe Knife?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then somebody Ninja Stars was the third... Is the third
Seriously?
Guy.
Yeah. The guy's last name is Ninja Stars?
Yep.
I did not make it to the third level. I really wish that I had. But the sprite artwork, like the framing artwork for the wanted posters, every single one of them says Joe.keep.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Joe.keep is the name of every... Unless that just means wanted in gun.smoke language. I remember the... either this is a different game or the Nintendo version of Gunsmoke, the beginning level, there's like a woman in a bonnet who says, "Go get the Wingates," which I think is like an Indian tribe.
Oh. It's a hard game, that Gunsmoke.
It is a super weird control scheme, too.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like Robotron-esque, except it's geared towards movement in one direction. So you can sort of, you've got a joystick to move, and then you can shoot a spread up and to the left, a spread up and to the right, or parallel shots straight up.
Yeah. Dudes will get behind you and start shooting at you from behind, and you have no recourse.
It just fucking sucks. Like, you have to, like... You have to get really close to them, and they shoot at odd intervals, and unless you're on a horse, one shot kills you, and you're never on a fucking horse.
Yeah, I was very rarely able to get the horse upgrade. It's a fun game. I take issue with their upgrade system. They, like, you collect these upgrades, which are, like, boots so you can move faster, and then, I guess, rifles so you can shoot more damagingly or something, but if you die, you lose one level of upgrade, and if you don't get that back before you die again, you keep losing levels of upgrade and just getting like worse and worse off, which is really brutal. It sounds like you're trying to kill somebody with your nose, Riff.
Really?
Oh, I don't know. Were you ripping papers right in half in front of the microphone?
No, I wasn't doing anything in particular.
Oh, weird.
Well, so a little bit of cursory Googling tells me that maybe this thing about the Wingates is apocryphal, and that I nor the internet have any fucking idea what that text meant.
Huh.
A winner is you. Go fight the Wingates. The Wingates? Go fight the Wingates.
I mean, it's possible that it's like really bad transliteration from Japanese.
Right next to Gun Dot Smoke, there was Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Oh,
no,
yeah?
Sorry. This is the full title of this fucking thing, which was apparently a cartoon. Wild West C period O period W Boys of Moo Mesa.
So like
wow,
Cowboys, but
yeah.
C-O-W
so cow C O W stands for Code of the West. And my character was apparently the Marshal, Moo Montana. Emily was the Dakota Dude. And not appearing in this particular game was the Colorado Kid.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's also a fourth one. Yeah, this is really bad. So, okay, here's the summary of it. An irradiated meteor struck the late 19th century Western Plains, creating a miles-high mesa shrouded in clouds. Everything trapped on top of the mesa was cow-matized by the light from the cow-met and evolved into a bovapomorphic state.
What?
Wow.
So, yeah, we fought, like, a spider. Cow-matized. There was a guy who was like an anthropomorphic scorpion riding a larger anthropomorphic scorpion.
Oh, nice!
That was pretty good. I like it when a boss is inside a thing that it also is.
Yeah,
you know? Like when Dr. Wily hops out of the big robot and it turns out he's also a robot. You know, in Voltron.
Sure.
How Voltron was a robot made of five smaller Voltrons.
I'm full of
that
tinier
would actually be
men.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's just Voltrons all the way down.
Yeah.
Just like fractal Voltrons.
Like Japanese Matryoshka dolls.
Yeah, Cowboys of Moo Mesa. You gotta press a button a lot of times to win that game.
I mean, I feel like that's true of most games.
Well, sometimes you can hold down the button and you'll shoot a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know what I really like in a bullet hell game? When you can just fucking hold down the button and
yep.
It's not... I feel like there used to be this balance mechanism where if you hold down the button, you will shoot at about two-thirds the rate at which you can press the button.
Yeah.
And that, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you, guy that made that work that way.
A lot of the really the modern bullet hole games
just
did away with fire anyway. Yeah, you're just shooting constantly. You don't even have to hold down the button.
I mean, I guess that reduces your toolbox a little bit as a designer because you can't put in like a timing puzzle or something, right? Like you can't put anything.
But
that's
generally not the focus of the bullet hell games anyway.
Well, I'm trying to move the state of the art forward, Riff. I'm not saying like, oh, this isn't what we do.
Well, but I mean, in a bullet hell where you have to focus so thoroughly on dodging, I don't know, putting some kind of
pretend I didn't say bullet hell.
That's
going to
distract you from
that
would be
just a top-down shooter.
Would be mean. Okay.
Yeah, like a side scroller or something.
A platformer.
I played a side scroller that I had not played before at the arcade today, which was In the Hunt.
Was that the
submarine?
Yeah, the cabinet had like a little aquarium.
It was awesome.
On the top with bubbles.
That's what drew me to it was the like weird novelty cabinet with the water.
It reminded me of that. There is like a there was some sort of whitewater rafting pinball machine.
Oh yeah.
That I don't know if it ever actually sprayed water on you, but it had fans that would kick on, and I think that maybe it...
That's fucking cool. Yeah. That's really neat.
Seems like a good way for the pinball machine to get really fucking gross and rusty and broken.
So, maybe I'm just not good at side-scrolling style shooters or whatever, but, like, this did not seem like it was designed with like in a fair way that you could. Okay, let me step back for a second. I feel like a game that is quote fair unquote is one in which you could
beat it on a single quarter.
And I got the sense from this game that was not feasible.
I mean, we theoretically watched a Let's Play of Rastan where it was beaten on a single quarter.
Sure.
Has anybody beaten Metal Slug on a single quarter? Because I played that on your cabinet, and it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were really careful.
This game doesn't let you be really careful because it does have a timer, right? Like, you have to make forward progress because there's a timer that just will kill you.
From watching it, I assumed that it would just, the forward scrolling just happened on its own.
No, you can sit there like that. So it's like not forced scrolling. It's like voluntary scrolling in one direction. You can't go back. But there are like giant ships which just keep shooting at you, and you don't really have much recourse against them. And there's a bunch of stuff that just keeps spawning over and over again. There were sections that were meant to be like sort of dodging through moving obstacles, but as far as I could tell, some of them just like there was no way to get through them without dying. And I don't know that that's true, but like it was pretty brutal. If we weren't playing in an arcade where I got an infinite number of credits, I think it would have cost me $10 or $12 to beat that game.
Yeah.
At a quarter credit.
Yeah, we played the Terminator 2, the game with the guns.
Wow.
And I embarked on a project once when I was in high school. I was like, all right, man, I got $40. We're gonna go beat this game.
Wow.
I just paid for me and my buddy to beat the game, which we did, and it was fine. I think it only cost us like $20, but it was just like I really like this game. I never get to play as much of it as I want to. I want to see it through.
Yeah.
But it was terrible. Really? Playing it today, my gun, one of the guns would only let you shoot the bottom half of the screen.
The right-hand side gun?
Yeah. It doesn't have light. It's not a light gun game. That gun is just a joystick. The gun is just like a thing that is sitting on top of a joystick.
Interesting.
And it's got, you know, a trigger and a couple buttons on it. And it's got, you know, it's neat. Like, it was in fairly good repair in that, like, the little, like, rat-a-tat-a-tat still operated inside the thing, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it just, the thing was either calibrated badly or there was something wrong with it. And so only one of the players could shoot most of the stuff on the screen.
Something that I don't quite understand about that game is you have a machine gun or whatever, and when you start off the game, you are shooting really rapidly, and then it's like your gun gets tired.
Yeah, there's a recharge.
And you start shooting slower because it builds up.
It builds up. You can increase that capacity. You can increase the recharge rate. Like there are a few ways that you power that up. I mean, it is encouraging. It's theoretically encouraging precision and not just, you know.
But it's a machine.
I mean, I think what they probably did was they designed this game and then they said, oh fuck, there is absolutely no reason not to just hold the trigger down the entire time that you're playing, so let's add some reason
Add some humans that you're not supposed to shoot, so that I feel like is
fuck
reasonable.
That. For a long time I was just playing with both guns and I was like, man, there is no way I'm not killing all these fucking humans.
Awesome.
It was. It felt really badass.
That's really cool.
But you couldn't use any grenades, and so then by the time Emily walked up and I was like, hey, you want to play? And she's like, yeah, I had like 400 grenades on each side. They persist across continues. But yeah, even with Infinite Continues, she got bored and didn't want to. We got to this point where like there's a van and there's a helicopter tries to run into the van, and then if the helicopter hits the van, it's just fucking game over.
I tried to protect John Connor while he was in the pickup truck, and I couldn't get past that.
Well, it's made harder if you're on the right side by the fact that the only thing on the screen that you can shoot is the fucking truck, because it takes up the entire bottom half of the screen. That took us several tries, but we eventually got through it by me just sitting there doing nothing and Emily killing all the dudes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was good. I wanted to give her the gun with the free range of movement, but then I spent half the time like, Emily, fucking, could you please shoot these guys that are killing me over and over again that are in the top right half of the screen? Like, could you please, Emily, I need you to shoot. okay, so we're at this boss where the whole screen is subdivided into chunks that we have to spend like a minute shooting each. Maybe you start on top.
The top.
Maybe start on the top instead of on the left, where then I'm just...
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Relationships, man. They make it so hard to stop the T-1000 from assassinating John Connor.
I played a game with Melissa. I played Atomic Punk 2, which is really fucking fun. It's, I've never played Atomic Punk, and I guess it is basically just a Bomberman clone or Fast Follow or whatever you want to call it. but you, like, you know, you're a dude in like a maze kind of situation. You place a bomb, it blows up, there's enemies wandering around, you get power ups, you place more bombs, and the bombs blow up bigger. It's like, it requires a fair bit of like strategic thinking, because if you place a bomb and walk past it, you can't move it or anything like that. So you can very easily trap yourself in a situation where the bomb is going to blow up and it's just going to kill you and there's nothing you can do about it. And so you have to think about that. And then you're also trying to, you know, you place a bomb and then it's going to blow up at some point in, you know, in like 5 seconds later or whatever. So you're trying to think, okay, well, I these enemies tend to follow the same kind of like walking paths, so maybe I should, or like how do I like get this enemy to be near the bomb when it's going to blow up, or can I block the enemy but to be like behind a couple of bombs such that it has no choice but to be killed or whatever. And so it's got this like awesome kind of like combination of like strategic thinking and like arcade-y style combat that I really like, and the power-ups were cool. And then you're playing with another player and it's like mostly co-op, but like you can also like, you could easily just screw them over by putting bombs and like locking them and the, you know, like sequestering them behind like a bombed in corridor or whatever. Like, so it's, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And with, especially with an infinite number of quarters, the game is really great because you can just keep going and going and going. So I appreciated that a lot. So do you ever played Bomberman before? Is that like...
No, I've not really played any Bomberman.
Melissa had, and she loved it. And so like that, I think, was what got her.
And you were saying that was like... This is gonna edge into politically incorrect territory. Okay. But I think you mentioned that it was nice to go in because you are just better at games than Melissa is.
Probably.
Right? Just, sure. You know.
I've probably spent
variation between people.
I have done my 10,000 hours of video games, and she has not yet.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this was a game where she had played a ton of Bomberman, and so had a lot of vocabulary to bring into this, and you were having to learn it over the course of it, and so it was like an ideal situation for like.
And she was better at it than I was, which, yeah, like that just made great. It was just great.
No. I feel like there's no game that I played with Emily that I did not play 100 hours of before she was born. It's sad. Always. Man, something that I forgot to talk about last time was I don't know if I've ever told you guys about my love affair maybe 15 years ago at Peter Piper Pizza with a game called Egg Venture.
No.
So this is a game that I had extremely fond memories of, and I finally got to play it again. It is basically like a shooting game, like a Police Trainer, except all of the stuff was of eggs. There was just like eggs with little faces on them, or bad guy eggs with cowboy hats and eye patches. And you know, then it's like, all right, well, here's a level where there's like some eggs, and then there's like anvils falling from the sky, and you have to shoot the anvils before they crush your eggs, or egg astronauts, and then there's asteroids that you have to shoot before they hit and crush your eggs.
Weren't they eggstronauts?
I don't think so.
Huh.
So I went back to the town that I grew up in and went to my like arcade that I used to go to all the time as a kid. And the last few times I've been there, it's just getting progressively sadder and sadder. There is a Capcom bowling cabinet that has been there for probably 20 years at this point. They had Egg Venture, and I was like, oh man, I am so excited about the fact that they have Egg Venture. They had it over in that corner where Rygar used to be. any of our listeners who frequented Duke's family restaurant and game room in Flora, Illinois, That's where I played Hippodrome. I had a lot of Hippodrome there. And that was a game that, going back to it, it's not all that great, but as a kid, it like really... It was one of those things that really captured my imagination. It was a fighting game where you were just a guy with a sword and shield and that your enemies were these monsters, which is various powers, and you could upgrade your weapons and stuff between
like
the times.
Like a Golden Axe kind of thing?
No, it was more like Street Fighter. It was so it was like Tongue of the Fat Man, except you're all the same guy. Okay. I never played Tongue of the Fat Man. I read a review of it in Dragon magazine and was so like, I was like, oh man, I need this game.
Yeah.
And, like, is there a game like called like Gladiator, I think, that's like that?
There is an old arcade game called Gladiator. Super weird. Yeah, and you're like, I'm pretty sure that you had either like you had analog control over both of your arms?
Yeah.
Maybe? Like you Something were like your that. Shield had multiple positions that you could put it in, and your sword had multiple positions that it could be in. But this is not like that. Because that one That one was more like your guy was just walking along and there were hazards that you had to block and stuff. This was just a fighting game. It was like you were in an arena with you and one other monster. It's really cool. It's worth playing in an emulator if you can track it down. But anyway, I went back there and they had Egg Venture, and it wasn't, I was afraid it was broken. It was all turned off, and I was like, oh, this makes me sad. And I ate my cheeseburger and I went up and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm like, hey man, is that shooting game broken or is it just turned off? And she was like, oh, it's just turned off. So she went and turned it on. I was like, fuck yes. And I put in a quarter. So I remember having a lot of fun playing this game as not like as a child, but as like a, say, like a 22-year-old.
Oh, really?
Is when I played a lot of this, right? It was before I moved to Phoenix. It was like, it was when we would go to the Peter Piper Pizza after we were old enough to drink, right? Like, no, it wasn't ironically. We would go there to drink beer and play video games.
Oh, okay.
But like 22-year-old nerds would do, right?
Okay.
It wasn't like we weren't. Like, Peter Piper is not like Chuck E. Cheese, right? Like, Peter Piper is just...
I have no idea.
Shitty pizza place, and it also has a bunch of video games.
Okay.
Although, I guess, sometimes they will also have, like,
jungle gyms
and ball pits and stuff. But,
right.
But yeah. I don't know. They serve beer, right? So it's
sure,
like,
for the
dads, right?
Yeah.
But there's also video games. Anyway, so this Egg Venture, I just played the shit out of this every time we went there, and the other guys that I went with would just constantly make fun of me for like my liking this egg game so much. And I did not... I think what happened is that when I was younger, I had a genuine appreciation for this pretty bad game that I now have a pretty well-developed ironic appreciation for because of how fucking low-budget this game is. So, like, the cabinet, the side art in the cabinet, the like, sort of header, I don't even remember what that's called, the marquee?
Sure.
The marquee. It looks like it was printed on, like, sheets of paper on a color inkjet.
Wow.
After having been made in, like, imagine a 3D modeling software, like a ray tracing software that they sold in a CD-sized package at Walmart, right? That is what they used. It was like the 3D art equivalent of the 30,000 clip art CD. There's just one egg. There's like four sound effects, and so like there's the thing where it's like, oh, there's these eggs floating in an aquarium, and these fish are floating at them, and you have to shoot the fish. And when you shoot the fish, it makes like a breaking glass sound, and the fish just like shatter
well,
into
yeah,
a bunch of pieces.
Because you're shooting through the side of an aquarium.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. I hadn't really thought about it that way. And then they've got somebody just repairing the aquarium every time. There is like a bumper sticker above... What the hell? I can't look at this photo. There is a bumper sticker above the screen and below the marquee that says, "You are now entering the adventurous world of Egg. Good
Yay!
Luck." And then explain some instructions about calibrating the gun. Here is one good thing about it, and this is, I think, the thing that I liked when I was 22. You put in a quarter, And you can, this thing is so badly designed that you can play it for like a half an hour on one quarter.
So is that bad design or is that like, well, conscientious?
I don't think it's conscientious. Like there are a lot of cases where like a level of this game will be like, wow, you know, this would be a game if I had limited ammo or limited time, but as I have neither of those things, it is just a fucking chore, right? Like, this is just a series of tasks that I have to perform, and it doesn't matter what I do in between these tasks. Also, the thing that somehow didn't notice when I was a young whippersnapper, and I didn't even see it this time. Emily pointed it out. You get these egg puns as your ranking. And you start out as an egghead. Everybody starts out as an egghead. And if you make mistakes, your ranking goes down. And if you do well, your ranking goes up. And the lowest rank is egghead. The top rank is eggspurt. And the middle rank is egg-alent, which I think is just a typo of excellent. And then I look at it and it's like, well, these are all the same number of letters. Maybe they just decided, well, you know, this would fit if we just fuck it up. And we're clearly not paying attention to the quality of any other aspect of this experience. So yeah, let's just do it.
Egg-a-lip.
One of the levels, so you go through days, and I don't know why it's like days passing, because it's not, you know, so today's astronaut day, and tomorrow's aquarium day, right? It's not like, there's not like a story. But every day, one of the things is just like a slot machine. You just play a slot machine. You either get an extra life, or you get you lose a life, or you get a machine gun, which I think just
makes like
it
real
so you just
slot machines.
Shoot. And yeah, you either get plus one egg, minus one egg, or plus one machine gun. That's how they pay out, because otherwise it's gambling.
Maybe it was a pun on elegant.
Well, we thought maybe that, but it was E-G-G-E-L-E-N-T, so if it was a pun on elegant, then they also misspelled elegant. Yeah.
And wouldn't it be L-egg?
L-egg-ant. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just pretty egg-alent. And then today at breakfast at the we did a little side trip, and today at the hotel there was a container of hard-boiled eggs with a sign on it that said "an excellent start to your day," and I just thought, they misspelled egg-alent. So at the arcade today, I played all the way through Moonwalker. That was pretty good.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
I didn't
nice.
Know we got all
that
the
was one of my favorites. That was great.
It was a pretty. You know, there were some really cool things about the game. I would not say that it's a particularly good game. There's only a handful of enemies, many of which are just robots with giant obvious dicks. I need to find an animated GIF of these dick robots, because I'm not... I mean, people have accused me of being a guy who sees dicks everywhere. You know, maybe even a guy who draws dicks everywhere.
Sometimes vaginas, mostly dicks.
Sure. Yeah, Josh once observed of a given piece of art. He was like, "Oh, I see you finally stopped making everything look like either a dick or a vagina by drawing something that looks like a dick and a vagina." And I maintain that is more in the eye of the observer than in the eye of the artist, because I have never deliberately drawn anything to look like a dick or a vagina.
That's not true.
I have not. You cannot point to a single thing that I've drawn that was supposed to look like a vagina or a dick.
You have drawn like little cocks and balls on stuff that I own before.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have been drunk.
I think you were drunk every time that you've done it, but it's happened multiple times.
Like what? Did I ruin any of your expensive goods?
No, it was always like paper of some kind.
Like your copy of the Constitution, your original copy of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Your original
first printing
Benjamin
of
Franklin.
The
well, because you were like John Hancock.
cock.
John Hancock cock. And balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So a lot of the games at the Galloping Ghost Arcade, which, Jesus fucking Christ, if you are anywhere near Chicago, you need to go to the goddamn Galloping Ghost Arcade,
super
because that
great.
Place is fucking magical. It is a magical wonderland, and apparently also they have a pinball annex that isn't open a lot of the time, but it's going to be open on Wednesday for some brief period.
I did not I did not actually read that sign.
Their Halloween balls spectacular. I asked the guy, and he said, we don't usually open it because it's not worth it to staff it. So.
That's interesting.
Yep. Yep. That seems like the project of a private collector.
Somebody loves those machines.
Just wants, yeah. Like, they fix them on site, and, yeah. Yep, that's a good arcade. I also, anyway, a lot of the machines there are, like, two different machines that are just operating simultaneously with, like, an AV or a KVM switch. I guess it's like a JBM switch. It was a Japanese bowel movement, which is different than a normal bowel movement.
Right.
In that it goes onto a schoolgirl's face. J-Date? Somebody, Josh was asking what that website is where you can order all the weird squid candy and crazy Japanese shit, and I suggested J-Date, because I don't...
Which was, I thought was funny because it was wrong in so many different ways.
Yeah, it's very, a lot of different ways that's not the right thing to go to.
Yep.
Anyway, there's just switches that swap between two different games. And on the Moonwalker cabinet, I actually beat two games on the same cabinet. Moonwalker and Alien Storm? Was that what it was called? That game was
familiar.
Fucking ridiculous. It's like... It's got this, like, surfer vibe thing where you are operating a hamburger truck called Alien Burgers. And then when the call comes in, when Earth gets invaded by aliens, the R and the G spin around and it turns into Alien Busters. And then that's the truck that you drive from mission to mission. And so it's like a real, real, real shitty beat-em-up. And then every once in a while, you'll start running on your own, and it will turn into kind of a side-scrolling shooter. And then, every once in a while, you'll go into a room and suddenly just have, like, a crosshairs, and it's just, like, a first-person shooter, like, sort of like Super Spy style, like the Neo Geo game Super Spy, where it's all just 2D sprites in layers using parallax to sort of give a first-person thing. And you shoot a lot of things, and there's a lot of reused sprites.
Huh.
And a lot of really questionable... distribution of content in terms of, like, sometimes there's a boss and sometimes there's not. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, you went in. Normally these levels end by you going into one of these first person sections and clearing it out, but on level 6, for whatever reason, we're just going to make you go an extra couple screens of beat 'em up with just some random enemies before we say that the level's over.
Weird.
Your characters are a guy who has, like, all of the weapons are such ass. It wouldn't... You could probably put the same hitboxes on them and make them melee weapons, and it wouldn't have seemed like such a horrible fucking thing. But it's like, the guy has this weird gun that when you shoot it, you just shoot it, and it shoots maybe two-thirds the guy's height out, and then he just lifts it up, like, sort of in an arc in front of him. The robot...
Like a
there's a robot
saber kind
that has
of
a
thing?
Whip. Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
It's more like a... More like a proton pack that just doesn't shoot very far. And the girl has an extremely limited range flamethrower. Yeah. But everybody has a super special attack that just damages everything on the screen, and you can recharge that by putting in quarters. And so we just got to where it was just a race between me and Emily to activate the special attacks. It was like waiting for some people to get on the screen and just hammering on the quarters button. That's because awesome. We just wanted to get to the first person sections because that was actually fun and cool. And there's one where you're in a car dealership and you just fuck up all these cars. It's great. Like a game where you get to fuck up a car.
Yeah, like like that bonus stage in Street Fighter.
Yeah. And like the Terminator game where, you know, you
start killing all the dudes.
Yeah, just kill all the dudes.
I played a little bit of Crazy Taxi, which I feel
that
like
came out
I don't
for
know...
iPad recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I understand why it has a time limit, and I understand that that's sort of what makes it a game in a lot of ways, but, like, it would be a great sandbox game.
I think it is on consoles.
Yeah, right. Like, if you could just turn off the timer and just drive around and just mess around in these little cities that they've built up, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, it's I don't know when it came
out. Did you ever play The Simpsons Hit and Run?
No.
I bet you would like The Simpsons Hit and Run.
It's like
Crazy Taxi, except open world, and it's The Simpsons.
But, like, Grand Theft Auto is like that game, right? Like, it does almost all those
Grand Theft Auto doesn't precisely bring the whimsy.
I think when you get all the taxi missions done, doesn't the taxi begin to be able to jump?
That is City? In... No, that's in San Andreas that you get the jumps.
I thought the jump was in...
Maybe it is. Yeah, maybe the... Maybe
because
San Andreas,
I thought that was like the...
San Andreas is like infinite turbo or nitrous in the taxis or whatever.
But, you know, like... I basically, because I sort of came to driving games more as like a sandboxy kind of thing because of, you know, Auto Duel.
Carmageddon,
yeah. Which I've been playing on my iPhone a little bit. The Carmageddon game on the iPhone is definitely worth playing. It's cool. It's not the best game by any means, but it is fun and lots of blowing stuff up. I definitely recommend that.
I hope they do the same thing for Carmageddon 2. That was the one.
Yeah, that would be freaking sweet.
Didn't we?
We were
gonna do that as an assignment, but then we could not find a port of it that we could all play.
Yes. Yep. We tried to.
I don't know about it. Like,
I would not.
It
I wouldn't
is so hard
Carmageddon
for me to imagine doing it on an
assignment.
iPhone,
Carmageddon 2 was great,
though.
And yeah, I have no idea how that would if it would translate to iOS or not. But the Carmageddon Kickstarter is hopefully going to come out with a game early next year. So. We can just play that as an assignment. It'll be great.
Unless John Romero decides to cancel it.
Sure. Sure.
Hey, speaking of which, what's in the news, Kevin?
Oh, wait. Let me add one thing. I forgot to mention about Virtue's Last Reward as just a sort of a warning if anyone decides to buy it based on my glowing recommendation. There is apparently an occasional bug that can cause you to have your save file corrupted if you save your game during one of the puzzle room sequences. So don't save your game during the puzzle room sequences. And that's my public service announcement regarding Virtue's Last Reward.
Pasa. The news. Let's see here. We got...
what is in the news, Kevin?
Well, the ESRB, our friends over at the ESRB...
we don't have any friends at the ESRB.
...just released a no-cost rating service for digitally downloaded game content.
Ooh.
So you and I could go and take a survey about a game that we're going to release digitally, and based on the answers to our survey, they would just sort of automatically assign it a rating that we could then slap on there.
It's almost as though they understand that this bullshit is meaningless.
It's possible. They had in addition to that whole like mature whatever PG-13 crap that they have, there is also requires like internet connection, interacts with others, and then some third category that's like levels of like how dangerous is this thing for you and your computer?
Right,
and
so
your
it's
kids
both like how many clits per minute get eviscerated,
yep,
and how easy does this make it for somebody to show you a picture of their real dick?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. As opposed to the fake 3D dicks that they have already provided in the game.
Right, that they're making out of Legos.
Yeah. Let's see here. PS3, Sony, you know, in there, they have not had a good year or two in terms of security. They've been hacked a bunch of times. The PlayStation Network got screwed at least twice.
Man, Sony is almost as big a target for hackers as your mom.
I know, right?
is for sailors.
But the lowest level decryption keys on the PS3 have been leaked to the internet. And so
what's the practical upshot of that?
Well, the hackers are claiming that basically this means that Sony cannot patch the security settings to the PS3 that in a way that won't just be trivially unencryptable and like defeatable by hackers in the future. Sony is not so convinced of this. Who knows what they're gonna? I mean, it's not in their interests to say that. Oh yeah, we're
fucked. Right, we're totally fucked.
But that basically this allows people who want to sort of jailbreak their PS3s and play kind of a bunch of other games on them.
So you can basically turn your PS3 into a much better version of the Ouya.
Yeah. And so
hooray.
In all of these articles, there was this, like, I saw a bunch of articles about this, and all of them mentioned that the United States Air Force has 1,700 PS3s linked together to make some sort of crazy supercomputer, and I could not find any original source material that stated this, only articles that talked about it as if it was just a known fact.
Did those articles also mention that girl who totally broke a hot dog off inside her vagina, yes, masturbating with it and had to get surgery?
Or the guy who took all that acid and thinks he's a glass of orange juice?
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know if that's a thing or not, but people sure do like to talk about it on the internet.
I mean, there was it was with the PS2, right, where they were like hyped up that story about how it couldn't be exported to certain countries because of the encryption that was on it, and it just, there were some export regulations, but which just then turned into, no man, you can't let the Arab terrorists get a hold of this. It's a supercomputer. They'll use it to derail a train.
Right.
Crash it into the sun.
RSA encryption is still theoretically ammunition or something. Or maybe that's not true anymore, but it was like 5 or 6 years ago. Fuck if I know. I don't keep track of any of that shit anymore.
Information wants to be free, man.
It does. The Super Meat Boy guys, Team Meat, has announced their next game.
Yeah.
Mugenics.
Is it about cat?
It's about cats with two heads.
About a cat with two heads?
With a cat with a head growing out of his other head.
Has any more than that screenshot been released yet?
No. No. Bummer. It's another one of those things where it was like they were working on the iOS port of Super Meat Boy and decided to do a little game jam and fell in love with their game that they made and are now going to release it.
Sort of where Binding of Isaac
came out.
I just want to do something else.
For a week on my own, yep. Fucking Binding of Isaac in a week.
Yeah.
Fuck. it just makes me sad that, we can spend so much time making a game, and he's gotten good enough at this point where he can just kind of riff on something for a week.
It helps, I think, to be able to do all of the stuff yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's so critical.
Sure.
It takes us a long time to make a game, but you know what else we're doing while we're making a game? Putting food on dudes' tables. Making the world go around.
Yep. Those tables are full of food.
Letting people feed their families. Letting people have entire families. Over the course of the development of a single game that's supposed to take fucking 3 months.
In Kickstarter news...
Fucking game development is fucking bullshit, man.
Yes.
Let's become lawyers.
Okay.
I don't really want to become a lawyer. You become a lawyer, I'll become a deadbeat.
So, let's see. I've got the whole gamut here. The Brenda Braithwaite game that was the old school RPG... They got about a week into their Kickstarter, were about a quarter of the way through their $1 million goal, and canceled the project. They just said, we don't think it was a compelling enough pitch for people, so we're going to maybe try again. The Heroes Quest people, Lori Cole and them, are about a week into their Kickstarter and are... $120,000 out of $400,000. So they've gotten a ton of press. And if they can't make it, then people just don't want that kind of game anymore, I think.
It looks weird. I looked at that and I thought, a year ago, if you had said, hey, would you give Ken and Lori Cole, Corey and Lori Cole. There's something. Nobody named Ken in this.
You're thinking of Ken Williams.
Thinking of Ken Jennings.
Yeah.
If Ken Jennings wanted to know a lot of stuff about things, would you give him a dollar? And I was, he doesn't need my dollar. He got
what if
those
it was Carol
Jeopardy,
Channing?
Jeopardy sawbucks. Sawbucks. I hear in Jeopardy they give it to you in a bunch of fives. It's the prize money.
Yep.
It's a tax shelter.
Sure.
That's what a tax shelter is.
It's constructed out of $5.
Buying everything with fives so that the Bahamas can't get you. This is why you should be the lawyer and I should be the deadbeat, because I don't know shit about anything. I just will more or less just say random words that I heard on the news.
You were in the middle of a thought. About
if you had told me a year ago that Corey and Lori...
Cole.
Okay. So first, we're going to need to elect them to a position of high authority so that they can put into place some legislation that we will refer to as coleslaw.
Oh, damn.
Coal's law. Oh, coal power. Yeah, we give them all the coal power.
Yeah.
Right. Also, they need to have a daughter named Medina, who we will declare funky. Okay. If you had told me a year ago that they were going to make a game, I would have been like, fuck yeah, I'll play that. But then if you had showed me this without their names on it, I would have said, eh.
And so you're in the middle ground now where you're like,
yeah, I don't know. And what sucks is that maybe the reason that their shit hasn't funded yet is because it's also, it is weird, but like I think of a project that is a week in and a quarter of the way funded as a failure.
Yeah, it's weird because if they just got consistent funding, that would probably fund them by the end of the project.
But it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that at all.
And that's weird.
Yes, it is.
That's weird. Because it's like, it's almost like the momentum, the initial momentum has to kick in to the point where you get close enough that the ending desperation is enough to get it triggered. Right?
I feel like if you get 50% funding in the first week, you're in decent shape to fund. But that tends to also matter depending on like whether you've got a following or if you're trying to build a following, because you could start real slow. Like they did in 2011, they did like a recap of Kickstarter finances, and they had some of like the sort of like outlier projects, those that had the biggest end spike, and there were some projects that were like under 10% funding until the last week and still funded. And stuff like the graphs are really cool that they showed, but you know, those are obviously like the exceptions and not the rule.
But I wonder how many people there are like me who are looking at this thing and saying like, I don't know, maybe I will try to fund this later if it doesn't look like they're gonna make it. You know,
a bunch of projects to get reminders at the last 2 days of the project.
But then I think like, what the fuck am I gonna do with that $50 in the meantime? What I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna forget. I'm going to forget to fund it.
Star stuff?
I don't even know what that means. Man, that sounds like some Facebook
There's a
bullshit.
Button on every project that is like, remind me later. And 2 days, 48 hours before the project ends, they will send you an email.
Well, I'm doing that.
You're going to do it right now?
Man, speaking of which, you showed me that they're apparently doing a Kickstarter for a remake of Shadowgate.
Yep.
That is a game that does not need a fucking remake. That game is goddamn terrible. If that gets funded, I'm going to be mad.
Dude, it looks awesome.
If that gets funded, I'm going to start a Kickstarter for me buying a ski mask to go rob those assholes. and then just throw the money in a river.
I don't even want
that money. I just don't want them to have it.
Dude, I do not understand your objection. The original Shadowgate was great.
Well, no,
I'm trying
it
to imagine
wasn't.
The reward tiers for the $5 Kickstarter to buy a ski mask.
If you give me 10 cents. I'll let you be my accomplice.
I mean, maybe so, it was because I played it on Mac instead of like the NES version, but I loved Shadowgate.
I don't know, man. I shouldn't talk.
What about Shadowgate London?
I shouldn't talk conscious Mac. Hellgate London. I would rather play Hellgate London than Shadowgate right now.
Gate Australia?
I actually kind of liked Hellgate London. I did not think that game... I mean, it was very much unfinished.
What about Lionsgate, the film studio?
Okay. What about Gates McFadden?
Yes.
What about Bill Gates?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a lot for the malaria-stricken youth of our world.
What is Gates McFadden's alter ego or pen name for when she's doing... other stuff. Choreography. Fuck, I need to look
her
this
name's
up.
Choreography.
Laurie
and Choreography.
Yes.
Okay.
Gee.
What are you talking about? Is this a real thing?
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now.
So
Gates
McFadden has a fake name.
It's not a fake name. It's her
real name.
Yes.
Marina Sirtis.
Yes.
Sealy certified sleep number mattress.
Steely Dan.
Cheryl McFadden. Her name is Cheryl Gates McFadden, and Cheryl McFadden is what she does when she does choreography stuff, and Gates McFadden is what she does when she does acting.
Okay. Which one is she? Was she Beverly Crusher?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, What were we talking about?
Shadowgate.
Okay. Shadowgate. So I don't want to just like diss on Shadowgate, but like that. So Shadowgate struck me as a game that you could have put on a fucking Atari 2600, right? There was so little gameplay to that game that it was effectively like a Scott Adams text adventure set to an NES game. That like there was just nothing there. Well, like it was a bunch of puzzles. You solved them once, and that's it. And like
But what's Zork then?
Not a fucking NES game, and not presented as an NES game, and never ported to the NES because there was not enough to it to make it. And you know what? There are a lot of NES games that are shittier than Zork from an actual like.
Did no one ever do like a choose your own adventure?
Ludological perspective, no. And that's like.
Because I think that would have been something that might have had a little bit of traction.
I don't know. There was a Noah's Ark Bible Adventure. That game was actually pretty fun. You pick up some animals, throw them at stuff. It's sort of like Super Mario Brothers 2, except instead of turnips, it was lambs.
Did you see there's a Kickstarter, the guy who wrote that essay about how all the modern Zelda games suck is doing a 50-page comic book with the guy that did the art for Braid?
No, I didn't see that at all.
It was like
I'm gonna make an even worse Zelda game to prove my own point.
it's I think it's called Second Quest or something like that. But I guess the story is
And this is that Tevin Campbell guy.
But the artist
from Braid,
like that,
Usher.
Yeah. I guess the story is like I don't know. They're trying to evoke the feelings that they wish Zelda games that hadn't they feel lost. That sort of exploring mysterious unknown land.
I don't know that any story can evoke the feeling that Zelda evoked. Reading a story about a dude exploring a thing is not exploring a thing.
Hmm. Is it because the story will have some sort of ending?
Although that said, The Goonies evokes a feeling of exploration.
True.
Although that's super linear. They don't have any.
The movie, The Goonies, or the
yeah, the movie. It only goes in one direction. The novelization is also the same thing. It should be like, but I mean, they only ever had one direction to go. They didn't make any choices in The Goonies about how to move forward. They had challenges to meet. They were deciding whether to bang on the pipes or not, and then they made that guy fly off the toilet.
Right.
Because like, banging on the pipes doesn't do anything except give those jocks their comeuppance.
Which is an important part
of
the
story. Yeah, no, in the form of like a high-powered, no permission enema. Yeah. It was easier to ask for
no
enema
permission.
Forgiveness than to ask for enema permission.
I was going to, the final bit of Kickstarter news that I was going to mention was that Star Citizen has already exceeded its funding goal and is now working on stretch goals.
I mean, is there stretch goal, like... Have they exceeded what they were asking for on Kickstarter?
Yes, which they've was exceeded a, what they were so, asking for on Kickstarter,
which was like $500,000,
which is a
but
portion
they were trying
of
to raise $2 million total.
I think so. Yeah.
Their
funding model is.
Does it seem like a weird coincidence to anybody else that the budget of any video game is always a multiple of $500,000?
No,
I mean that seems weird, right?
I mean,
it seems like there's a strange.
You can always multiply
conspiracy.
You can get pretty much any other number by multiplying 500,000 by some other number.
Right. So if they're like, let's say they're going to hire 27.3331 guys.
Yep.
Right. Then they just figure out how much to pay each of those guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. That third of a guy.
Well, they could solve that problem by just hiring that many guys times 500,000.
Right.
Okay, and then. As just asking for more money.
Well, a lot more. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's really only going to cost $1 to make this game,
but we
it has to be a multiple of 500,000
people.
Yeah, yeah, for just a minute. For
yeah,
like
it's
just
the,
a second.
The plan to save the economy of some third world nation is just to make everybody
that
lives there an employee of this game company.
If Edmund McMillan could make The Binding of Isaac in one day, that means that seven guys could make, or in one week, that means that seven guys could make The Binding of Isaac in one day. Let's see, 140 plus...
If God could make the world in
168 guys could
make...
That
means that seven gods could make the world in one day.
No, 168 guys could make The Binding of Isaac in an hour. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
And on the 24th hour, the seven gods rested.
You're paying a bunch of guys...
That's why we have Sabbath hour every night.
You're paying a bunch of guys... You're employing people. So you do that right before they get the unemployment statistics. And so it's like, well, fuck, everybody's got a job. Everybody was working for this one game company for like a minute.
We went to a show, or I went to a show like a couple weeks ago, and they were like, okay, everybody in the audience who's unemployed, raise their hand. And like one guy raises their hand. And they're like, seriously? One person. What the fuck is everybody so pissed off at Obama about if one person in this goddamn audience is unemployed? That's what that is.
No, it was just one guy didn't have any pride, and so he was willing to admit it.
Sure.
I was unemployed, and I didn't raise my hand. I was not at this show. B, I...
You make jobs. You're a wealth...
Yeah, I'm a job creator.
You're a job creator.
This is, yeah, that's why I support Romney, because he's got my back.
With a loofah.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
A
falafel.
A falafel.
Romney's going to rub me down with a falafel. Also, I can't tell Romney and Bill O'Reilly apart. You guys, I really think I need new glasses, but I can't because I don't have vision insurance. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Wait, I do have vision insurance. What?
You do. That's how you can see that sign that says Hope.
Sure.
Also,
my optometrist is named Hope.
Then the last piece of news was that the Mech Warrior Online RPG opens their beta... on
like tomorrow
or a couple days ago, depending on when you hear this.
I haven't even posted the previous episode yet.
Yeah, so this is some weird time travel shit that we're doing right now, because if the old episode hasn't even launched yet, then all the stuff that we're talking about, like on the last episode when I mentioned X,
I'm not gonna put them out in
reverse chronological order.
No,
yeah, you are.
I wouldn't do that.
That's gonna be mess people's heads.
All right,
yeah, that's all the news.
Good. So this assignment, Chomo Lomo, is about using a cheap German camera to take a picture of a guy having sex with a baby. Kumo Lomo. Man, there's this hotel in the town that I grew up in that we were never allowed to stay at because the owner was a child molester, and we only knew that because my dad was a cop for so long, and
your dad was also a child.
And the other cops, yeah, they used to go to NAMBLA meetings together. And the other cops were also like, yeah, don't stay there. That guy's a child molester. And so,
who lets this guy own a hotel or run a hotel?
Well, I think maybe he didn't, like, he did his time, and then it was all over, but then it was just like, you know, like, I think the real. In a functioning society, the real punishment for a lot of that kind of thing is that you become a pariah and, you know, nobody will stay at your hotel.
Right.
Which I decided to start referring to as the Chomotel, which was pretty funny.
Sure.
Kumo Lomo.
I see.
I thought it was funny.
That finally makes sense.
See, Chomo Lomo, and yeah. It's the cheap German camera for hipsters.
Right.
Child molester.
Yeah, wow. Complicated, yes. Your brain is.
Come on, that's good. This is where the magic happens.
So Kumo Lomo, iOS yeah. game, are the second of
An
our
iOS
three
game about having sex
three-part
with kids.
Series.
Fuck this game, man. Riff.
Yeah,
fuck,
what's up with you, Riff?
Fuck you. No, fuck
I apologize.
You and fuck this game.
It sucked. You know what I hated the most about this game?
What?
The clouds?
I hated that once in a while... the purple arrow that you would push to get to the next level would suddenly be a purple arrow that meant post this on Twitter.
And, ugh, God.
Yeah,
yeah. That happened
you.
To me.
It
fucking launched
fuck
the Facebook thing.
You.
Yeah. Fuck. Ugh.
If you, when you beat the game, they're like, oh, thanks for beating our game. It would be really awesome if you gave us some money. Please give us some money. You know, some money. Please give it to us. Some money. We have priced all of the upgrades so high that the only way you're going to see them is if you give us some money, and they're really cool.
Yeah,
that's what they say at the very end of the game.
So the thing that initially struck me, immediately struck me yep. about this bullshit game being bullshit was that the getting the stars on the levels has nothing to do with the fucking goals of the levels.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
if you
want
to get the stars, you have
time,
to ignore the goals. Yeah.
For a long time. You have to love the non-goals for a long time.
So it's cute. It's cute. This guy, a little cloud guy.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Got basically
sometimes
no
you can move him
plays.
Around without wasting some fucking rain, but most of the time you can't.
So yeah, you move around the world by sort of swiping your finger left or right. Which
yeah, but
is
if you
okay.
do that, you better have your guy over where you're not going to accidentally run him into the fucking difficult to see hazards.
Yes. And then you can move your guy around the screen separately, but you also click on your guy to rain, which is like your weapon, and which is a limit. So then you have like a certain amount of water in you because you're a cloud, and that's a limited resource, which is both your weapon and your hit points, which I fucking hate that. I fucking hate
yeah.
that you have like one resource. Well, I guess you have two because you also have lightning later, but you have like your primary resource is your rain, which is what you use to do damage to dudes. And to also raise forests and also to somehow
put out
make
fires.
Mountains come out of the ground because erosion works that way somehow.
Oh, yeah. They're upside down mountains, right?
Yeah. The controls were
so,
just
okay,
really unpleasant.
So do you think it's fundamentally bad for your?
I think it is
your
attack resource
to also be your hit points.
I think it is a very strong choice to make, and there better be a really good reason for it,
yeah,
and I don't feel like it was in this.
It's a very dangerous decision.
The fact that moving around, when you click on your guy, you have to touch your guy and then move him around the screen if you want to move him individually, and half of the time that you try that, it fucking makes rain fall out of you because it interprets that as an attack instead of a movement. Like beginning of a movement command or whatever, which depletes your hit points and your ammunition or whatever, your one resource, right? Like the combination of all of those things at the same time was really,
yeah,
really primes you for being aggravated.
So we've spent a lot of this episode complaining about touch controls.
Yeah.
Being inappropriate for actual real games. Thanks, Steve Jobs, Obama. Obama Jobs, Bill.
Jobama.
Thanks, Bill Jobs. He's the guy that took over Apple, right?
Yes. Yeah. Getting the 3 stars is a pain in the ass.
But it just seems like tedium.
And
it's
I don't.
Like
there's like no point, right? Like it's just like an accomplishment thing.
Doesn't unlock anything.
It doesn't. It doesn't give you any benefit.
Playing more. Does playing more give you more of those gold piece little helicopter head guys?
I mean. They are pretty scarce.
I noticed when I killed a guy, he turned into one of those.
Sometimes,
but then I had exactly as many as you needed to get the required upgrade for like the level 8.
It's at random, basically, when those guys spawn. And so that's the other thing, is a lot of the things are like to get the in-game currency, which you can, of course, give them money to get. The way that they do it is every now and then at random, a little sort of like gold helicopter thing will spawn, which you then have to rain on, which turns it into a coin, which then flies off straight up off the screen. So you have to rain on it and then gather it. So it's like a set of multiple actions to get anything done. It's a sequence of actions that you have to do. It's just super obnoxious. It's a lot of obnoxiousness.
Kevin doesn't like sequences of actions.
All tied together. Yeah.
Yeah, and you would have to get hundreds of those rare little helicopters.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
I beat the entire game, and I had upgraded 2 things twice, and there are 20 upgrade levels, I think, total. It's out of control. How
yeah,
rare
I mean,
those
at least
are.
It was free.
Yeah, and it's a free game, so, you know, sure. The first comment I wrote after having played it for a little while was sort of Missile Command-esque, which it really isn't at all, having played it a lot more.
Hmm.
Right? Like, I don't know why I thought that of it that way the first level or two.
No, I mean, I think of Missile Command as being, like, the fundamental thing about Missile Command is that it is about predicting movement.
Yeah, this is not that at all.
And, yeah.
No, I don't know why I wrote that comment down.
Huh.
But then I wrote
maybe
down
because you think
controls
that Missile Command
not
is
awesome.
Stupid bullshit.
I think I had played like one level and didn't understand how the game worked. So,
Yeah. You thought you had to rain and then spin the planet to get the rain to
land on it. I tried that for a while. I was like, well, what happens if you just go kind of nuts? And I just would like spin the whole world really fast and try to rain at the same time and try to like do things in a sort of extremely disorganized way. And that doesn't really work very
well.
Didn't
work.
No. The world is not persistent, which kind of drives me nuts. If you go a little bit to the right and then you go back to the left to like check on the stuff that you have just accomplished, it has been replaced with other random shit.
I did not find that
to be the case. I didn't even notice
in
that.
Anything that I yep. had happened to me, but I believe you.
Because when you, at the end of a level, you pan out and you see the whole world and it makes you think of it as a persistent object, but it just I just don't think that it is. Like, I've had so many experiences where I had like set up 3 or 4 forests and then wandered a little bit to the side to like look at something else and then wandered back and they were just all gone, and there's just no way that they were lit on fire and got destroyed in that time. So I have like my only other rational thinking was that the game had just destroyed them by not actually remembering that they were there and putting other shit there instead.
Maybe you just got drunk and forgot that you burned them down.
That's
yourself.
Also possible. That's also possible. Yeah. So that was our part two of our three part assignment.
So we're going to continue with Bad Piggies, which I think is going to turn out to have been by a really, really big margin the best game of these three.
Have you played it yet, Riff?
Yeah, I have.
No, I kind of don't want to.
Do it, Riff, do it. It's
fucking, a good game.
It's fucking good.
It's actually
a good game.
All right.
Do you like The Incredible Machine? It's not like The Incredible Machine.
It's like
exactly.
Fantastic Contraption. It is basically exactly like Fantastic Contraption with lower granularity of construction.
Yeah. All right. There's definitely a lot going on. And it gets more and more rewarding over time.
It is depressingly good. It is alarmingly good.
Yeah. Because it has the same artwork as Angry Birds, the people that are all anti-Angry Birds are very... I can imagine them being easy to write it off, but it's got a lot more going on. So that's it for next week.
Sweet. Well, because we're skipping listeners' mail, because this has got long as fuck because of me and and Kevin
arcades.
Talking about the arcade all day.
I saved some of my arcades for next episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to a different arcade before the next episode.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a listener's mail, how would they go about doing that?
They should tweet us at VGHotDog. They should email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com, or they should check out our forums, which is available at a link via videogameshotdog.com.
All right.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
All right, guys. Well, thanks for recording episode number 77 of Video Games Hot Dog with me.
Yeah. Only 23 more episodes to go before we reach an arbitrary milestone.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Three more stars.
It's not even really, like, because we've been putting the tacos in there. We won't even have done 100. Yeah, it's all fucked up.
Yep.
None of this matters.
Wow.
Fuck everything.
Damn.
I love you, listeners.
I love you.
Yeah. You know who I love especially? Kevin Stott, one of our awesome Kickstarter backers.
Mm. Oh,
Kevin with a Y.
I feel much the same way about Yevon. Chris.
What about, do you have any feelings about Mr. Jeff Pato the Splendid?
Ooh.
See, that guy could have been a spaceship.
And, all right. And all of our backers should be spaceships, I think. We should make them all spaceships.
Yeah, man. You know how the Michael Jackson's Moonwalker ends?
No.
He fucking turns into a spaceship.
Yeah?
He flies off. Yeah. Huh. Well, it turns out he was on the fucking moon. Well, I don't remember being on the moon. Maybe there's a part where you're in an elevator. Maybe he took that elevator to the moon. It goes on for a really long time.
His nickname was Apollo. No. No, it wasn't.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Later.